welcome to the fourth and last class of the learning from 24 gurus. So yesterday we learned from five gurus. We had the Python, Ocean, Mott. Wait, let me look here. Python, Ocean, Moth, Honeybee, and Elephant. Okay. Did anybody apply the lesson of the Python yesterday? Accept only what you need and don't accept extra.
Yes?
Okay. Vishakapriya? In what sense did you...
Whatever was available.
To maintain. To maintain, okay. Good. So, anybody else practice being a Python yesterday? Okay, then besides the Python, we had the ocean. Did anybody apply the lesson of the ocean to be undisturbed, abundance and scarcity, to be grave? And then we have the moth. Controlling the sense of sight. Anybody practice that? Honeybee, Madhukari, or taking the essence. Actually, yesterday I was practicing that the whole day. It seemed like it was the most relevant for me because when I did the exercise with Shimati also, the answer I got was like to make sure you're doing the essential thing. Not other things that you don't have influence or responsibility over. So then when I was feeling sick yesterday, I was thinking, okay, what's the essence? The essence is to just chant Hare Krishna attentively. That's the real essence of everything. And that message was coming through in Srimati's class. And I think in the remembrances of Srila Prabhupada also, or also the remembrances of Jamuna Devi yesterday. And just to get the essence. The essence of life. We also have to be looking for that because everything else will pass and it's external. But the essence is the most important thing. Anybody else practice the honeybee, finding the essence, or not over endeavoring? Okay, and then the last we had yesterday was the elephant. Sense of touch. Okay, so today we have five gurus. Actually, we have six, but we'll see how much time we have. Today we will learn from the honey thief, and who will take everything away from the greedy bee. Yeah, we have the greedy bee. Yesterday we had the Madhukari. Today we have the greedy bee. And so there's two kinds of bees. There's the kind of bees that just go around and pick the essence, and there's another bee that just keeps it and hoards it in the beehive. But they don't get to keep it, actually. So the honey, greedy bee, the deer, sense of sound, the fish, sense of taste, pingala, the prostitute, kurara bird, or hawk, and the child, who will learn from these six. If time permits. So the honeybee is compared, the greedy bee is compared to a greedy person who accumulates a large amount of money with great struggle, great pain. But even though you may accumulate so much money, you're not always allowed to keep it or enjoy it yourself. Certainly the government will take it, and if not the government, then your relatives, and if not your relatives, then somebody will find out. There are people who know where to find things, where to find wealth, and they will come and take it. So better to use the money, Chanaka Pandit says, that use your money in the service of Krishna, because you cannot take it with you. So the beekeeper teaches us that we cannot keep our money. And but then there's the next verse says somebody is entitled to take your money. So who are these people who are actually entitled to your wealth? Just as a hunter takes away the honey laboriously produced by the honeybees, similarly saintly mendicants like brahmacharis and sannyasis are entitled to enjoy the property painstakingly accumulated by householders dedicated to family enjoyment. So Bhagavatam says, yes, they can take your money. They are entitled to take your money. But if you don't give your money in charity, if you don't use it for a Krishna-conscious person, if you just accumulate, then we learned one lesson, that it will be taken away. But there's another thing that happens if you keep money. Does anybody know what that thing is that happens? Yes. Become cripple-hearted. Yes. Anything else? Karmic reaction. Yes. Kali will come. Yes. Because Kali is given five places to stay. So you might even be following the four regulative principles. That's the main things where Kali stays. But if you accumulate your wealth, if you hoard your wealth, Kali will come there too and cause trouble and quarrel and dissension over your money. And so it's best to spend it for Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, it's described in the earning of money, in the attainment, in the increase, in the protection, expense, in the loss, in the enjoyment. All men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. So I can see that in the West, the people are, there are no jobs, so everyone's in anxiety for money. And even if there is a job, you have to work like an ass at that job. My son got a temporary job. Okay. And it was a night job from midnight till 8 o'clock in the morning. And he had to go to a factory and push 2 tons of paper every 5 minutes. Most of the way he could drive it with an engine, but then there was a part like 5 feet he had to push himself, 2 tons. And so this was like 50 times in the night. And even though he was working so hard, the person was not satisfied. They wanted him to work 2 shifts. And that wasn't enough. He had to also work Saturday and Sunday. So without any relief, he was supposed to work at this job. And of course, he couldn't do it. He's a devotee. And he's not. And his feet were all blistered and bleeding because you have to walk in these factory shoes and push all this heavy weight. So, and then he lost his job. He didn't quit, but he lost it because his wife delivered a baby, so he had to go out. And they wouldn't allow him the 3 days vacation to be at the hospital with his wife. So this is, it's like slave labor, practically. And he couldn't get a lot of jobs because you had to speak Spanish. Mostly the people from South America get those unskilled jobs and stuff like that. So, I mean, this is going on. And I know a person, a devotee who was working a job in Canada, Toronto, and she was highly skilled. She was MB, and she was in a consultancy firm. And she was coming home at night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and she had to be back at 7, 8 in the morning. And she didn't get overtime pay, because if you're in a high-level job, like, then you just have to finish a project, and it doesn't matter how much time it takes. If you don't, you have to finish it in a certain amount of time. So that's another example. Even if you go to college and get your MA, still you have to work like a dog, and they're not satisfied. If you don't, you can't just do it in the hours they give you. You have to work. So this is what's happening. This is the news in the material world, that just to get a little money, then people have to work so hard, and it's just enough to maintain. It's not like you can save anything. You cannot even save money. But anyway, we're learning from the greedy bee, and there's many undesirable qualities that come from hoarded wealth. 15, theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling, enmity, faithlessness, envy, and the dangers of illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. These contaminate men because of greed for wealth. And people think these qualities, although they're undesirable, people think these are good qualities, actually, to be greedy for money, to have illicit sex, to have all these things. They think, oh yeah, this is very good. Good way to use our money. And so, Prabhupada, of course, never hoarded money. He was very careful to use everything for Krishna, and quickly too, not to keep it. And so Prabhupada, when he went to the USA, he kept a diary and he was noting down every penny that he spent. And also, to illuminate the fact that sannyasis can take from grihasthas, Brahmananda tells the story of one time his mother came to visit Srila Prabhupada. And she sat in a folding chair, folding metal chair. This was for VIPs, because everyone was on the floor in those days. Nobody sat in chairs. And so the mother asked Prabhupada, "What are you doing with my boys?" Prabhupada said, "Taking care of them, taking care of your sons. I'm feeding them, looking after them, providing. Actually, we have no income here. Maybe you would like to give some donation." And so she looked at the boys, her two brothers, Brahmananda and Gargamuni. She looked at Prabhupada and she said, "Donation? I've already donated my sons." So Prabhupada, "Oh yes, very good." So yes, he was taking the children, the flower of America. He was taking all the children from their parents. We were all between 16 and 22, 23. If you were like 27, close to 30, you were considered pretty old in our time. I think Rukmini, she joined when she was like 16. And I was 22. It was those... Prabhupada did that. He took from everybody their children. Of course, the children had already left, pretty much, their parents. Even at a young age, they had left home and gone to become hippies. But anyway, the sannyasis can do that. So the lesson is not to accumulate. Most devotees don't have that problem. The problem is the other way. Don't have the problem of accumulated wealth. So now we will hear about the deer. The deer is captured by sound. A saintly person dwelling in the forest in the renounced order of life should never listen to songs or music promoting material enjoyment. Rather, a saintly person should carefully study the example of the deer, who is bewildered by the sweet music of the hunter's horn and is thus captured and killed. So the deer, we also may be captured by music, some of us. So this is very powerful to take us away from Krishna consciousness, because it comes in your ears and you can't really stop it. There was one sage's son who was living in the forest, and he was allured by... He never saw a woman in his life, so he didn't know what it was. So some prostitutes came, because the king in the neighboring kingdom was having a drought, and the astrologer said, "Well, if you bring this boy, Rishishringa, and marry him to your daughter, then rain will come in your kingdom, because he's a very auspicious boy." So he got all these prostitutes, and they made a floating hermitage that went down the river. And they went to see the boy when his father was out. And he said, "Oh, what kind of boys are you?" He said, couldn't figure them out. And so they were embracing him. He said, "This is our way of greeting people." And then he was hearing the sweet music, and they were dancing and giving him intoxication. And they got him onto their... They said, "Come to our hermitage. We have a beautiful hermitage over here where we practice our sadhana." So, of course, their sadhana was quite different from his sadhana. And so they were teaching him what they were doing in their sadhana, and they took him back up the river to the king's kingdom, and he married the daughter, and rain came in the kingdom. But you should not be allured by sound. This is the moral of the story. And also, sound has to do with the vibration of our tongue, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "One can control the urge to speak by not speaking prajalpa." So we can control our desire to hear something by not hearing prajalpa, by not hearing these things which will bring us down. So Prabhupada spoke over 1,000 lectures. Gurudas said to Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, you say everything perfectly." Prabhupada said, "That is because you hear perfectly." So hearing is very important. Another thing about sound, when Srila Kirti and Srila Prabhupada were on an airplane one time, Air India, I used to also fly. That was the only plane that would fly to India in the old days. So Air India, you go on, and then they have this beautiful classical music playing. Quite nice, actually. So one time they went on the plane, and Prabhupada asked Srila Kirti, "Do you like this music?" And Srila Kirti just didn't answer because he thought, you know, how can I tell them I like it? It sounds nice, but there's no chanting of the Lord's names. It's just instruments playing. It can't be Krishna conscious. Speculating fearfully, he said, "I missed my opportunity to be intimate with my loving spiritual master," and said nothing. "This music is very nice," Srila Prabhupada said, mercifully. "Yes, Srila Prabhupada," I answered with relief. "It is nice." I felt like a cheater, unable to be honest. I was so concerned about the outcome of my answer, I forgot Srila Prabhupada was a person who, with likes and dislikes, he heard the music and remembered Krishna. I heard the music and calculated it was Maya and wondered how to answer in a Krishna-conscious way. So again, we see the world, especially in when we were young, you know, we were seeing everything except if you don't live in the temple, you're completely in Maya. That was what we thought. And so now we're trying to change our vision to see Krishna everywhere in the objects around us. So the deer in Vrindavan, the deer in Braj, were envied by the gopis because they were the deer and the husbands and wives, they both went together to worship Krishna, but the gopis couldn't do that. So then the deer also, when they would hear Krishna's flute, they would manifest ecstatic symptoms and they would be stunned. Their hairs would stand on end. And when Krishna left the rasa dance also, the gopis were talking to a deer, a doe, a female deer. And they said, "It seems that from the bliss in your eyes, it seems that you have met Krishna here." And they saw the deer, the doe started to walk. And then they said, "Oh, are you telling us to follow you? And you will show us where is Krishna?" So the deer is there in Krishna Lila, even in the rasa dance. The deer had a very important role to play. So they started following the deer. And then the deer all of a sudden disappeared. And they said, "Oh, Krishna must be nearby. That's why the deer is afraid to show us, because she might get in trouble." So then they said, and they could smell the fragrance of Krishna, his garland, Radharani. And they said, "Yes, he must be nearby." So the deer was showing the gopis where Krishna was. Now, spiritual sound, Krishna's flute, this is what we really want to hear, and this is the most wonderful thing in all the three worlds, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. This sound has a very wonderful effect, the opposite of hearing material sound. When Krishna used to blow his flute, the cranes, swans, and birds closed their eyes in deep meditation. The clouds gently rumbled, imitating the flute's vibration. And Lord Shiva, Indra, and Brahma were astonished. And the black deer were starting to follow Krishna, the wives of the deer. Cows and calves stood with their food half chewed. So this is the effect of spiritual sound. It has a completely different effect. By hearing spiritual sound, then we can become peaceful and we can go back to Godhead. So that's our whole life, chanting Hare Krishna, that we want to hear the spiritual sound. One time, Indradumna Maharaj tells a story. He was in an airplane in South Africa. And the plane was coming in for a landing, but there was a huge gust of wind. Every time they would try to land, then the wind would shake the plane, and then the pilot had to go back up. So when the plane shook the first time, Maharaj shouted, "Hare Krishna!" And then one Christian started, "Jesus, Jesus!" And then one Muslim was saying, "Allah, Allah!" Now everybody was shouting the names of God. And then the plane went back up. But sitting next to Maharaj, there was a man. He said, "Maharaj, Swamiji, I am an atheist. I don't believe in all this, these names." So then again, the plane went down the second time, and same thing happened. It started, the wind came and shook the plane, And he went back up, and everyone was shouting the names. And then Maharaj did the full mantra that time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And the atheist was starting to get shaken, and he was turning white and pale. And then he said to Maharaj, "What is that you're saying?" Then he taught him the mantra. So then again, then the pilot made an announcement. He said, "Okay, we're going to try one more time. And if it doesn't work, we're going to go back to where we came from." So they went in for another landing. The wind came and shook the plane. The atheist was chanting. Everybody was saying the names. The plane landed. And then Maharaj said to the atheist, "So now, do you believe?" And the man said, "Maybe." Nobody will admit defeat in this age of Kali. Yes. So then Maharaj said, "Okay, here's my card. If you ever have any questions, you can contact me." And so this is the power of spiritual sound, that even an atheist will chant Hare Krishna if forced, put in that situation. And so the sound, the deer, we learn from the deer about spiritual sound, not to hear material sound. From the fish, we learn to control the sense of taste, because he's caught, he's killed by his tongue wanting to taste the bait. So now we've got four senses covered. Is that? No, that's the five, all five. Yes. The deer and the fish were the last two. And so, of course, we learn in nectar instruction not to overeat, over-endeavor. We eat prasadam. We use the tongue in the service of Krishna. And how did Prabhupada exemplify this quality? Well, there's two different stories that are opposite, and so I'll tell them. Nanda Kumar tells a story that there was a time when I was feeling physically challenged. Ghee and sugar and some of the general food seemed too heavy for me and would make me sleep or get sick. When I ate light foods, then I would be healthy. Devotees told me, "That's Maya. If you take prasadam, Krishna will bless you." So maybe some of us have that problem. So whatever you get is just a tiny fragment of your karma. Devotees eat prasadam and don't worry about health food. So that was philosophically sound, but practically speaking, if I ate a light diet, I served better and had a clearer mind. I asked Prabhupada, "I understand the principle of accepting Krishna's mercy by taking prasadam, but when I eat light, it's easier, and when I eat heavy, it's difficult. What should I do?" Prabhupada said, "If you're Rupa Goswami, you should just take prasadam. But if you're a neophyte, which all of you are, you have to decide what is good for your devotional service and what is not good for your devotional service." So that was one answer. Now, he said the opposite thing in Montreal. Brahmananda tells a story. There is a devotee, Dayalanitai, who is a yogi and also into health, strongly criticized our diet, white rice, white sugar, butter. At that time, Prabhupada was in Montreal, and I used to walk with him to his apartment. This is Brahmananda. One day, Dayalanitai was complaining to Prabhupada how our food was not healthy and we're all going to get sick. Prabhupada stopped walking and said, "You see Brahmananda here? He's been eating this food for so long. Does he look sick?" So that was the second opposite answer of Sri Prabhupada. And I know also these in Hawaii, these sannyasis, Sai, what did his name became? Siddha Sarup. Yes. And the other one, Tushta Krishna, not Tushta. Yeah, I think Tushta. They were really into the health food too. So Prabhupada came there, and he wanted something at night. He wanted some kind of sweet or something, and there was no sweet. So he said, "Okay, maybe some puris." And then he asked them to get some plain sugar, raw, just plain sugar, white sugar. And he took the puri, dipped in the sugar, and was eating like that. Because they didn't make any sweets, because they didn't eat sugar there. And so they had to go out and buy some sugar for Prabhupada. So in front of those sannyasis, he was eating like that. And so they were just like cringing, you know. They couldn't take it. And then another time in London, there was a feast at a life member's house. And Prabhupada was there, and all the devotees were there. And And usually at these feasts, halva, sweet rice, puri, sabji, the whole works at night too. And Sruti Kirti said, I watched Srila Prabhupada eat. It was always special. Normally he took prasadam alone, but I cannot describe the heavenly way he moved his fingers, hands, and mouth as he ate prasadam. But even I could see he was honoring Krishna prasadam. So usually Prabhupada never touched his fingers to his mouth. He would just, you know, get something and go like this. Like that, we go in, you know. We try that, we go out, wouldn't work. And Prabhupada had that, and with the water way up there, you know, go in his mouth. So, everyone took very nice prasadam. When we returned to Bhaktivedanta Manor, Prabhupada rang his bell, and I went to his room and offered obeisances. So, everyone has enjoyed prasadam? He asked, smiling. Everyone has enjoyed the feast? Well, actually, Srila Prabhupada, some of the devotees, they're not feeling well. They're saying everything was fried in oil instead of ghee. Prabhupada said, well, what do you expect? I was watching them. I saw Pradyumna. He ate so many puris. Another devotee ate so much vegetable. I was amazed. I noticed Prabhupada eating, but I had no idea he had observed so much. He simultaneously did so many things without ever appearing to do anything at all. So I had an observation. Yes, Prabhupada, but I also don't feel well, and I didn't eat very much. Prabhupada said, yes, I know this. You didn't eat so much, but I do remember you ate 4 puris. Yes, Prabhupada, I guess I did, I answered in disbelief. I offered obeisances and left the room, still trying to figure out how he knew all this. He knew more about what I ate than I did. It was remarkable to me how he was so aware of everything that was going on around him at a simple function. So then this is here. Then there's a very famous story. I don't know if you've, all of you heard the story about the airline hostess on Venezuelan Airlines. Anybody not hear it? I don't have to tell it then. Okay. Only Sudevi and Krishna Kun. Oh. Okay, 3 people. All right. So we'll tell the story a little bit again. There was a stewardess on the airline, and everyone was sitting there, and Shudakirti, Prabhupada, and there was another devotee next to Shudakirti. Let's see who it was. Anyway, didn't say. So one lady had given Prabhupada some muri, puffed rice, to take on the airplane. And so as soon as they got on, after takeoff, Prabhupada said, all right, let's take prasadam. So Shudakirti said, do you want what is served on the plane? And Prabhupada said, no, we have our prasadam. That's all right. So Shudakirti put down the tray table, unwrapped aluminum foil, and placed the puff rice in front of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada ate. It was a little bit, only small, and he ate only half. And then without looking at Shudakirti, he said, all right, now you take. So he said, this was a nectar for which we were always anxious. Prabhupada always took great care of his entourage. On this flight, Prabhupada sat by the window. I was in the middle, and then there was one GBC, Paramahansa, sat in the aisle seat on sannyasi. So I took the puff rice and split it down the middle, keeping half for myself and half for Paramahansa. We were happily eating. When one stewardess was walking down the aisle and looked at us and reached past Paramahansa into my plate and grabbed some and put it in her mouth. Oh, this is very good. What is it? She asked. It's puff rice, I said, trying to keep my composure. It's made from rice. Shubhava looked at her with a broad smile. This is very good, she stated. I'm glad you like it, I said, a little shocked about what she had done. Are you having anything else to eat? She inquired. Well, we're vegetarian. Unless there's some fruit, we can't have anything. I will go up to first class and get you a basket of fruit, she eagerly responded. So in a minute, she came back with the fruit, with the knives. And is there anything else? Turning to Prabhupada, I asked, Prabhupada, would you like some milk? Yes, hot milk, he said. Okay, I told her. He will have hot milk, and we will have as well. So she came back with the hot milk. So Shudakirti said, Prabhupada lectured many times about super soul in the heart, but I never experienced his presence before that day. I became convinced only super soul in the heart of that stewardess could have inspired her to act in such an unprofessional manner. Sometimes devotees would offer me money to get Prabhupada's remnants. I never took it, he said. they begged for the opportunity to render personal service. And here was this flight attendant boldly going where no one else had ever gone before, by the mercy of Krishna and his pure devotee. So there's a footnote that one time, like 10, 20 years later, devotees were going on Sankirtan in the villages of South America, and they went to one house, opened the door, and inside all the pictures of Krishna and everything, and it was the stewardess. She had become a devotee, actually, just by eating Prabhupada's maha. Later on, she became a devotee of Krishna. Very powerful Mahaprasad. Big bower of steel, since he stole from Shudakirti. Yeah, to his amazement. So we learn from the fish, control your tongue, and don't eat non-prasadam. So then our next guru is Pingala, a prostitute living in the city of Videha. She stood outside the door at night, showing her beautiful form, desiring to get money. But one night she was standing and waiting and waiting, and nobody was coming, and she was looking at the different men passing by. Nobody would stop. So finally, she, after a night of failure, she just sat on her bed and just gave up hope. She became detached. And then she lamented, actually, that, you know, why did I waste my life in this way? She actually got detachment. And I did not try to please the Supreme Lord by service, but serve instead insignificant men who brought me only unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation, and illusion. So if we give up devotional service, we should learn from this prostitute that you become a victim of maya and suffer. So then finally, she concluded, I will now pay the price of complete surrender. And the Lord is pleased one develops detachment to the world and comes out of hopelessness and becomes indifferent. So she learned detachment. So we should learn from this Pingala that material desire is the cause of greatest unhappiness, and freedom from such desire is the cause of greatest happiness. Unhappiness is the cause of, material desire is the cause of unhappiness. So when I was preaching in Ireland, in Belfast, they told me the story of one man who bought a very expensive boat, because Ireland is a place full of lakes and rivers, and our temple is on an island. You have to go there by boat. You cannot come by car or walking. So this man, he bought a very expensive boat, and he said, he told a devotee, he met a devotee, you know, the happiest day of my life was when I bought my boat. And I got this beautiful boat. He said, but then, the happiest day of my life was when I sold that boat, because it was so difficult to maintain and gave me so much trouble. I was so happy when I sold that boat. So there's three kinds of material happiness. That you want something and you don't get it. That's misery. Then that's the first category of material happiness. And the second category is you want something and you get it, but it doesn't live up to your expectations. It just breaks after one day, and you're frustrated. So that's the second kind. Then there's a third kind. You want something, you get up, you get it, it lives up to your expectations, but then you lose it, or else you die. So these are the three kinds of material happiness that we have in this world. So better to learn from the example of Pingala and become detached from trying to enjoy. Realize that this is maya, that to think that there is something that we can enjoy in this world without Krishna. So how did Pingala become so Krishna conscious? Because who spoke this part of Uddhava Gita, the 24 gurus, is Dattatreya, who is an incarnation of Vishnu. So one night Dattatreya stayed at her house, not inside, but in the courtyard. And she served him. She swept the courtyard and made it clean, because she said, oh, a saintly person is staying here. And so she did some seva to a pure devotee, or actually to Vishnu. And that's how she actually got these realizations that, oh, why didn't I serve the Supreme Lord? So a little bit of Agata Sukriti, a little bit of seva can save you from the most dangerous type of fear, falling down into the lower species. Now, Prabhupada said one nice thing in a lecture on Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti's, after Kunti's prayers, he said, if somebody comes to our temple and consciously or unconsciously offers obeisances, he gets a credit in his account, credit note. So everything we do, every obeisance, every mantra, every time we just look at the deities and appreciate them, we get a little credit note, Prabhupada says, in our spiritual account. And when we get enough credit, big amount, then you can purchase Krishna. So when you get enough credit in your spiritual bank account, then that's enough to buy Krishna. And there's in Uddhava Gita, at the end of Uddhava Gita, we're at the beginning now, at the end there's a wonderful verse by Krishna himself. And he says about this process of devotional service, this process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent, cleverness of the most clever, for by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. So why is a devotee the most intelligent? Vishwanath Chakravarti comments, one who gets diamonds or gold in exchange for a small coin is called intelligent. So who is really intelligent? Vishwanath Chakravarti says, the devotees, the inhabitants of Bhartavarsha, although they are mortal, they're born in low families. They offer to me, Krishna says, their bodies, not worth a penny, which are deformed, afflicted with old age and disease. But they attain me, the ocean of sweetness. Accepting their offering, I'm, who's supposed to be the cleverest, out of joy, give myself. So, devotee's intelligent because he trades in this old body for Krishna. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful trade. In America, they used to have a program called Cash for Clunkers. Now, a clunker is a really old car, which you see in India a lot, these buses. And when they're pretty old and they don't live up to the standards of the road, then you can trade it in. The government will give you $5,000 for that old car, and you could use it to buy a new car because they wanted to get these cars off the road. So Our deal is this, our bargain deal. We give our bodies in devotional service. We give our ears for hearing, our nose for smelling, everything related to Krishna. If we trade in these bodies, then we get Krishna in return. So isn't that a good deal? That's very intelligent. So one who takes to devotional service, he's the most intelligent. He gets the best deal, the best bargain. How did Prabhupada exemplify this quality of detachment? So in the beginning, when Prabhupada first went to America, before he had anything, he was invited by one person in New York to a gathering. And this person put a middle-aged lady next to Prabhupada, thinking, you know, Prabhupada needed some ladies or something. And Prabhupada just sat there chanting the whole time and didn't look once at that lady. And so then the host said to Prabhupada, oh, you are not like the other swamis. And so Prabhupada was very detached. But at the same time, he was equal to women. Mula Prakriti tells what Prabhupada said to her, because she was one of the biggest book distributors. And she went around training all the other devotees how to sell books. Prabhupada said, in this age, it is actually a benefit to be a woman. In Kali Yuga, things are so degraded, people don't trust men. Hardly anyone will allow a man to come up to them or will open their door if a man comes, Prabhupada said. But he said, if a woman comes, they will open the door and they will take something from her. And he said, when I was young, there was a company in India selling Brahmi hair oil. They sent respectable young women door to door, and everybody opened their door and everyone bought it. He said, it was never even proven this oil had any medicinal properties. And he said, now, Lord Chaitanya is sending nice young women to help the poor conditioned souls go back to Godhead. This is his plan. So all you beautiful young ladies are sent by Lord Chaitanya to rescue the conditioned souls of this age of Kali. So now we have learned detachment from Pingala. We have two more gurus, and we do have enough time. So one is the hawk. Again, this detachment is from possession. The last detachment was from our path in life. We should do the proper path. And of course, actually we're learning detachment from money and from the honeybee, and to learn to use our sense of hearing properly, and a sense of taste properly, and detachment from trying to enjoy in this world. And then the next detachment is from possessions. Attachment to things in this world makes one miserable, and by giving up such attachment, one achieves unlimited happiness. So one time, a group of large hawks who were unable to find any meat attacked another weaker hawk who was holding some meat in his mouth. At that time, being in danger of his life, the hawk gave up his meat and experienced actual happiness. So yeah, actually in Vrindavan, it happened. There was this one lady who had her own house, and people were after her house, her land. They wanted the land, and she wouldn't sell it, and they actually killed her recently. And so, better to give it up. This is a lesson, and this is a lesson we just saw in Vrindavan. She was not one of our devotees, but she had been in ISKCON, and then she went to another group and was living nearby our temple, Satnagar. No, not Satnagar. Shitalchaya, yeah. Not far from our temple. So, yes, better you don't have property in Vrindavan, especially if you're a single lady. Better not to do that. And she's not the only one. There are others that have been killed like that, too. But she's most recent. So this is a real lesson to know, lesson to learn, that if, you know, better not to keep things if you're not using them, keep excess things. Or if somebody else really, really wants it, better you don't keep it. Otherwise, you might be in trouble. So Prabhupada, about detachment from possessions. Actually, I don't know how I got this. Oh, understanding the illusion of this world. This morning, in a morning walk in Oakland, I don't know where that is. I think it was in America. They passed, California, okay. They passed a small zoo with a large sign in front that read, Children's Fairyland. Children's Fairyland, Prabhupada read. Then he pointed to the skyscrapers and said, Adults Fairyland. Yeah, so it's there. The children are enjoying that, and the adults are trying to enjoy that. Now, another thing that Prabhupada, he wrote in a letter that if you follow the four regulative principles, you will get detached. And this was quoted, I think, by Malati in one of her speeches. It was about 5:30 in the morning, and Prabhupada called me into his room wanting to know why Shyamasundara and Pradyumna were still sleeping. I don't know, I replied. Prabhupada told me, bring them into my room. When we returned, he told us we must conquer oversleep. Rising early, taking a cold shower is not austerity, just common sense and good hygiene, Prabhupada said. Then, revealing a wonderful truth, his divine grace told us, by chanting 16 rounds, following the regulative principles, rising early, reducing one's eating and sleeping, one gets spiritual energy. If one follows these guidelines for 12 years, all he speaks will be perfect. So there's your program if you want to be a true speaker. 12 years of this, chanting 16 rounds up early, Mangalarti, chanting. Doesn't work for you? Okay, well, maybe one of these things you have to work on more. Maybe some people will take longer than 12 years. But we were hearing different stories. I was hearing, if you just chant Hare Krishna for 12 years, you'll be liberated. You'll be a pure devotee or something. You know, we were always expecting when Prabhupada was here, you know, that we would certainly see Krishna in a few years face to face and go back to Godhead. So the hawk, this Karara bird, there is a Karara bird in Braj, and that is in Dwarka Lila at the last chapter. The queens were hearing the Karara bird lamenting at night. And so Prabhupada
describes it in Krishna.
Dear Karari Bird, now it is very late at night. Everyone is sleeping. The whole world is now calm and peaceful. At this time, the Lord is sleeping, although his knowledge is undisturbed by any circumstances. Then, why are you not sleeping? Why are you lamenting like this throughout the whole night? Dear friend, is it you are also attracted by the lotus eyes of the Lord and by his sweet smiling and attractive words, exactly as we are? Do those dealings of the Lord pinch your heart as they do ours? So evidently the Karari Bird, doesn't sleep, but he just sings the whole night, laments. So we learn again detachment, and from our last guru today, we will learn simplicity, the child. Prabhupada had that childlike simplicity. So the child is simple, and so in that way, he's not attached to what happens to him and what's going on, because he simply depends on his mother and father for everything. Just like Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna, and he didn't know how his like sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking were automatically performed. So the devotee's like that. He's in the hands of Krishna. And he doesn't even know how his body is. Sometimes he doesn't know how it's being maintained or how everything is happening. And it seems to be happening automatically. And so the simplicity of the child, Prabhupada's childlike nature. So Srila Kirti tells traveling with Prabhupada was always an incredible adventure. He never felt the need to conform to any social convention. On airplanes, he used the restroom when the seatbelt light was on. He took prasadam when the tray tables are supposed to be up instead of down. If anyone said anything to him, he ignored them. They would then turn to me. I can't stop him, I would say, shrugging my shoulders. They inevitably realized they were no match for a Vaikuntha person and walked away. He said sometimes just, you know, the plane was ready, starting to take off, and Prabhupada said, okay, prasadam. So Srila Kirti said he would be holding on to the cups and everything while they were going up in the air, and so they wouldn't slide down on him. But he, you know, Prabhupada wanted prasadam, so what can you do? And nobody can stop him because it was his prasadam time. And it didn't matter what was happening. And Prabhupada was like that. It didn't matter what time he landed in a place, if he had sleep or not sleep, he would just see what time it was, and that was where in his schedule, like Ashtakaliya Lila, he had his everyday schedule from morning till night. And if it was, 5 o'clock in the morning, okay, time for morning walk, or whatever, 6 o'clock, okay, off the plane, time for morning walk. And then just follow whatever, and the poor devotees didn't have that ability that Prabhupada did. The servants, they were like, and he said, why are you sleeping? It was really hard, rough for Shukirti and Harisari and Pradyumna and those who were with him. I mean, they were not like, had the same ability as he did. So I'll just tell you one last story. I have more, but that's okay because time is less. So on a morning walk in Perth, Australia, so Prabhupada was in a talkative, humorous mood. Is a devotee simple or crooked? He asked, smiling. He is simple, Srila Prabhupada, one disciple answered. Are you sure? Is he simple or crooked? He asked with a rascal-like gleam in his eye. Yes, a devotee is simple, the devotee enthusiastically responded, not realizing he had fallen for a trick question. And then Srila Prabhupada said, actually, devotee is crooked. Everyone stood there with their mouth open. Take me, for example. I came to your country. Everyone was eating meat, taking intoxication, and doing so much nonsense. I tricked everyone. I tricked all of you into becoming Krishna conscious. So in that sense, devotee must be crooked because he must be able to trick. Just like I have tricked everyone. No one wanted Krishna consciousness, but I have tricked you. How he tricked us, it seemed like that because, you know, he just called and then we left. We just dropped everything and ran to where Prabhupada was. I left my husband and I just went and said goodbye. Okay, I'm moving in the temple. Aribo, nice knowing you. Goodbye. And some people had their families, children. I think Aditya, she left her son And other people, I mean, it's not necessary to do that, but we did. I mean, that's what we did in those days. Now it's different. Now you stay in your family, you become Krishna conscious, and your whole family becomes Krishna conscious at home. But in those days, it was like the Pied Piper or someone, Krishna blew his flute, and the gopis knew what they were, they just dropped everything and ran. So we were like that, a lot of us. Prabhupada called, and we followed, we answered the call. So one more Prabhupada's example of simplicity. Pradyumna tells a story. Prabhupada said, "Your phone rings all the time. It's a nuisance. In India, someone doesn't call before they come. They just show up at your door. And you say, aye, aye, come in, come in. Our Indian philosophy is open door, open window, open mind. This is our philosophy. We do not like to be blocked in." So, yes, it was very simple, especially in the old days, before so many problems. But yes, Prabhupada had that simplicity, and what we learned from the child is to be simple. So we had 6 gurus today, and we'll just briefly review. Where's my list? The honey thief. So how can we apply this lesson of the honey thief about not hoarding? Yes. Did you have your hand up? No. Yes. Okay, yes. The beauty of spending money for Krishna is you always get it back. And many Indian people understand this. And that's why they tell us, we are giving you a donation because we know we will get it 10 times back. Yes.
Lavanyam is the quality for getting the spiritual consciousness, in progressing in devotion.
Okay.
Lavanyam. So greed is the quality for progressing. So the honey thief is greedy for the essence.
Right.
In the same way, we should be greedy for getting the essence.
Okay, she's seeing the positive side. Instead of being greedy for honey or wealth, we should be greedy for Krishna. Good. The deer. How can we apply that lesson to our lives? Yes.
No prajapa.
Oh, there. Maybe it's Krishna conscious. I don't know. Yes.
I just have so much experience. I have Prabhupada.
Oh, yes. 24 hours. She has Prabhupada's.
I've been doing it for years and years.
Yes.
So
she finds that protection. So all of you should go out and buy one of those Prabhupada.
Good quality ones.
Good quality, so it doesn't break. Yeah. Right, okay. So the formula for removing problems, have a Prabhupada thing going on 24 hours a day. Yes. Deer, fish. Eat only prasadam. Pingala. Detachment, yes. How can we apply this to our lives? Yes. Attached to Prabhupada and Nam. Yes, the positive side. Reject those things which are unfavorable, accept those things which are favorable. The Karara bird is very much the same, possessions. And the child, how do we apply simplicity? We don't want to be too foolish. We don't want to be foolish. I mean, foolishness is also simplicity, but we don't want to be that kind of simple. What kind of simple do we want to be? Depending on Krishna? Simply, chant Hare Krishna, yes. You're sounding like Krishnadas Babaji now. Any question you ask him, he'll say, but just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. That was the answer. We met him in Calcutta, and I was pujari. He used to come and visit Prabhupada. He would come there, and we would ask him, you know, heavy, deep, philosophical questions, and he would just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Any question, same answer. So it's the same answer for everything.
That's the stage you get to if you read Prabhupada's books long enough.
Yes, okay. If you read Prabhupada's books long enough, you will also come to that level of answers. Any questions on these gurus for today? And the next thing on the program is we're going to go to Govardhan and sing Govardhanastika. And I don't know who's supposed to lead that. You are. Okay, our leader is Narayani Lakshmi. Okay, so do we have the papers? And we're going to go close to Giriraj, or are we going to stay here?
We're going to stay here.
We're going to stay here and turn, face that way and look at Giriraj.